As the U.S. men's national team takes center stage at a home World Cup, make sure you're listening to Call It What You Want, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can join me, I'm Jimmy Conrad, alongside Charlie Davies, Tony Miola, Marcelo Balboa, and Benny Feilhaber throughout this tournament for previews, instant reactions, and analysis of every U.S. match. Then all summer, we're back every Tuesday and Thursday, covering all things U.S. men's national team. Download and follow Call It What You Want on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
These are the new leads.
Now look, I need the leads.
These are the Glengarry leads.
Two lead cards for tonight, two lead cards for tomorrow.
Why give him the good leads?
He's got the leads.
He's got the leads. He's got the good leads.
The whole thing is the leads.
They stole the Glengarry leads.
Let's talk about something important. Put that coffee down.
Coffee's for closers only.
Yes, yes, it is time. It is about that time that we hit the hot leads. Chris Santiago, Chris Partee, Mitchell back there holding it down for us on the ones and twos. All right, let's jump into this first one. So we got NBA Commissioner Adam Silver made an announcement this morning about the All-Star Game and All-Star Weekend. Let's jump into that audio here.
But what about the concept of USA versus the world? Is that something that we will see possibly next year as you continue to try to tinker with the weekend?
Yes. So next year, as part of our new media deals, the All-Star Game returns to NBC, where it was when we were younger. And it so happens that next season we'll be smack in the middle of the Winter Olympics. So, in fact, the game will be on NBC, and the very day we're on, there'll be the lead-in will be Winter Olympic events, and then coming out of the All-Star Game, which is now going to be in the afternoon instead of the evening, there'll be more Olympic events. So what better time to feature some form of USA against the world? I'm not exactly sure what the format will be yet. I mean, obviously paid a lot of attention to what the NHL did with the...
Which was a huge success.
Which was a huge success.
The Frozen Four that was awesome.
It was great.
But also, you know, going back, you know, last summer, our Olympic competition was a huge success. I mean, those games, USA, Serbia, USA, France.
I love
France.
Watching it.
And by the way, to your point about the European style, I mean, a more physical style of basketball, a 40-minute game, which
is why
reference against
you
that.
Love the 40-minute game.
I just said it happened to be a 40-minute game in the Olympics. But yeah, we're not changing it. But
thank
it
you.
Was, but I think that's another example.
NBA Commissioner Adam Silver there, a.k.a. Skeletor. Talking about the All-Star Game, another change to the format of the All-Star Game. We just saw this a few years ago, a change to the format when they went to the players picking the players. Mm-hmm. People's feelings, I heard, wasn't there some kind of beef between Giannis and James? Was it James Harden?
Yeah.
Was it because of that?
I don't know if it was because of that.
But they had a beef, though.
I think it was because, like,
Harden says something about, well, it's easy to, you know, score 30 points, run and dunk. Talked about his skill.
I can't remember if it was because of that, but I do remember that.
Whole. I think that kind of carried over into the All-Star thing, and that was brought up. But, yeah, so another change to the All-Star format. Chris, how do you feel? So, you know, USA versus the world, so obviously all the players not born in the United States, so players like Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, who a lot of people might not even realize is from Canada.
He's Canadian.
A. And then obviously Giannis, the Greek freak.
Jokic.
Luka.
I mean, maybe Joel Embiid, depending on what.
But he was born, right? He was born in Africa.
Yeah. So, but he was on Team USA.
That's true.
The Olympics.
So. He was also going to play for another country as well. I mean, he's all over the place. But, he don't even know where he's from.
But Wemby. I mean, out of all the names, I like this.
Yeah.
But.
Uh-oh, there's a but.
There needs to be a little bit more.
What do you mean? Like more.
I don't know. Maybe they need to do like a. Like a 1v1, like a 3v3. I mean, something to like get these players to like actually go out there and give them their 100% that we've all been missing.
Well, it doesn't sound like the, because this will be implemented for next year's All-Star Game. So the 25-26 All-Star Weekend. And it sounded like it might not just necessarily or even necessarily be the actual All-Star Game. It sounds like it will be some kind of formation of different activities that involve.
They should do what the NHL did.
USA versus the world. And that's what Craig Carton, that show was horrible. That's what Craig Carton brought up as far as like how hockey did it. And it's been successful. You know, it was successful for them.
So basically kind of like a tournament, sort of. Isn't that kind of what hockey did?
Yeah, it was kind of each team. So basically, there was Sweden, Finland, Canada, and USA, correct. And they all played each other once, and whoever got like the point system, whoever got the most points, played each other in the finals.
Okay.
Well, we've already kind of seen that in the NBA with the NBA Cup.
Yeah.
I mean, but I think
it not would the be, same exact, but it's something similar.
So
more of a European soccer style kind of system.
Yeah.
With the NBA. I'm talking about the NBA Cup.
But what I think that they could do is maybe, because this would maybe get people to try a little bit more, especially like European players, is get it to be like, look at the world rankings and whoever the top four countries are, have them, whatever, send out their best players and just kind of make that like an all-star break. Maybe expand the all-star break to be a few more days longer and have like maybe games on back-to-back days, or have a game on Friday and have a game on Saturday. You could have the semifinals on, on Friday and then the game on Sunday. And add a couple extra or a few extra days of rest so the players can like heal up and everything. But I think having that, you can get France out there, send some of their best players, Spain, you know, and it will actually get people to compete more. And also Team USA will play with each other more. Team France will play with each other more. So once the Olympics come around, it'll already be a little bit more competitive, and we'll have already seen them go up against each other rather than only at the Olympics. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
No, and that's a good idea. The only issue there is when you said adding more games. You know how these NBA players are, man.
Oh, yeah, I know that, but it would be...
Adding more games.
Unless there's like a nice incentive for these guys, they're not going to want to play more games. Not saying that your idea is wrong or anything like that. Like it's a good idea. It's just, to me, we know how these NBA players are. They'd rather not play if they had the opportunity. And most of these guys and look forward to the All-Star weekend because they want the rest.
They want the rest. And, I mean, that's kind of what it comes down to, because look at this. So the last seven NBA MVP awards have gone to players. Now, it's between, like, four players, but it's gone to guys that weren't born in the USA. So that would not play in this on the USA side. Obviously, Nikola's won three of those. Joel Embiid campaigned and won one. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander won it this year. And then you had Giannis, 19 and 20. He went back-to-back. The last American-born MVP was your own Houston Rockets at the time, James Harden. That's the last, Eaton, right? That's the last American-born league MVP in the NBA. So what this tells me is that we're going to get run out the gym if it goes like this. They are going to run our asses out of the gym. Because you just said it. Most of these players do not care, for one. You talked about adding more games. I don't think they have already added some more games with the NBA Cup. And that kind of, I still don't fully understand that.
It's
but
like they added like an extra game that doesn't count, but the other ones do count towards the regular season.
Which is it's just why. Yeah. It's a little too convoluted.
I mean, the only extra game is for the people who make the championship.
Yeah, if you keep going. Yeah. Yeah. It's a little convoluted for me. But again, also the NBA Cup is supposed to help with ratings, so maybe and with this All-Star change in format, I guess you're trying, like you said, trying to get players to basically care more. That's going to be tough. Let's just be honest. These guys make so much money now. I ain't even just talking about the superstars like your LeBrons and your Steph Currys. We're talking about guys that are like, you know, the second or third guy off the bench still making multi-millions. Now, it's not like back in the day.
Like the seventh and eighth guy is the ninth.
Yeah, like the seventh and eighth guy is the seventh and eighth guy might be making 18 million. That 15 to 18 million.
Hey, slide over a couple of that for me. You know what? I'll play any game.
For you, for all of us.
For all of us, man.
Yeah, I'll play any game. You put me anywhere.
Mitchell trying to take all the money for himself. We trying to get paid too.
I just need a mill, man.
What you talking about? That's all I need.
Small little mill.
I mean, it's something. I think it could be interesting if they, I guess I don't want to say if they do it right, because I don't know if there's a right or a wrong way to do it, but you just, I just think it's going to be hard to get the players to actually care and go out there for an all-star game and give their all like we used to see, just because, you know, they get a bonus or whatever it is for winning the all-star game, right, or, but it's not nearly what guys are making on their regular salary. So it's like, why go hard and potentially get hurt? Especially if you're on a contending team.
Yeah.
Mid-season.
The last thing.
What's the point?
Yeah, there's no need.
There's really no incentive for the players, whether they were born here in America or not, any of them. There's no reason for them to really go hard anymore. And I think this last one in February just kind of was the pinnacle of that. It was atrocious. Atrocious.
Oh my.
Just horrible.
I mean, like, I got to agree with you there, but I mean, I just think if you added like the system where it's like four different countries, I think players like Wemby, Jokic, Giannis, like, we see how they play for their country. Like,
yeah,
they're out there giving it their all. So I think we would see like France, we would see all these other countries giving it their all. And then we'd see USA not really trying. And then that's where the upsets would happen. And then that's when you can get the bragging rights going into the Olympics or going into the FIBA World Cup or whatever it's called. Like, yeah, that's where you can get the bragging rights. And it would actually have something on the line and get more people to view that stuff.
Yeah, we'll see what happens with it. It is interesting. I don't know if it's going to move the needle for fans either.
I don't think so.
But it is interesting. It's an interesting concept to think about. But again, the All-Star game is in next February, so we have some time, and they have time to kind of hash things out, and got a whole offseason ahead. The postseason, NBA Finals start tomorrow night, so we're not even done with the season yet, so we'll get back to that.
Talking about NBA Finals, yeah? I'm so upset.
Why?
How long is it taking for these damn finals to come
on? I know,
on?
Man. It's like they've been off they only been off a few days, but it feels like forever.
It feels like forever.
It just feels like forever. And I mean, I'm excited about the finals.
Me too.
But I think this is probably going to be a very lowly rated or less watched finals than a lot of other, because a lot of casual fans are not going to care about the Thunder and Pacers.
It's going to be good.
Oh, it's going to be good.
It's going to be a heck of a finals. But yeah, I do agree on that part, that the viewership is going to go down here.
Yeah. And the viewership is already down for the NBA in general and has been. So we'll see what happens there. So let's talk about the Phoenix Suns. They fired their former head coach, and now they already have a hire. The season, postseason's not over yet. Offseason isn't even officially started yet, but they've hired Cavs assistant Jordan Ott as their new head coach. Do you think he can do something? Because they were another team that were, for the pieces they had and what they did to get Kevin Durant in there with Devin Booker and then go get Bradley Beal, who is stealing money right now, to go get him and form a big three, but not really be able to fill out the roster the way they really needed to. I mean, do you think this guy can come in there? And I mean, he's coming from a team that won, well, I think 64, 62 games this year.
Mm-hmm.
Number one seed in the East. I didn't think they would go much of anywhere. Lost to the Pacers, but they had some injuries too. That always matters. But what do you think of this hire?
I really don't know. I mean, I don't know what the Suns have planned. I mean, you have, what's his name? Oh my, my head just blanked. Bradley Beal there.
Yeah.
With all that contract, with that big contract.
Nobody taking that off their hands right now.
I mean, you have KD, who you don't know what you're going to get from him. Clearly, you're willing to give up, gain less for KD nowadays, because just like the market for him is just like, it's not as high as you thought he was, but you thought it was for him. So it's just like, and the only really piece there I'd say is Devin Booker, and maybe, I don't know who else. So I don't know. One thing I did notice here is just that Devin Booker was involved in this search.
Yeah, which is, that's a big thing, because he's your guy.
Exactly. And he stamped his choice. So that kind of tells me that, all right, it's 100%. I don't want to say 100%, but it's definitely up there in the 80s, 90s percent that Devin Booker's not going anywhere.
I don't think so.
And they plan on building around him,
which is what they should be doing.
Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
We talked about it earlier. He's your homegrown guy. You drafted him. You developed him. He's been there. I mean, I believe, even though I'm not a big Chris Paul fan, but I think his best seasons, even if he didn't average the most points those seasons, but they were when Chris Paul was there. Mm-hmm. Because I don't think Chris, because there were times when they tried to play Devin Booker as their point guard. He's not a point guard. He's a shooting guard.
Yeah,
he's a two guard. He's better off the ball. He can create his own shot, but he's not the guy that I want on a supposed contender or championship team setting us up, getting us into our offense. He's not him.
Now, unless you have another guard to pair with him that can also kind of, basically, I wouldn't say do the same thing, but just be similar to what he does. I think they complement each other well. But other than that, I agree. I don't think Devin Booker is a point guard.
No, I don't think he's a natural point guard.
Mm-hmm.
I think his position, he's that gunner. He's on the wing. He's a two guard. I mean, he can offensively do pretty much everything you want a shooting guard, really in any age, you know, to do, right?
And that, not to take away that he can't play make, it's just that he's better at doing the actual shooting guard things.
He's better at getting his own than necessarily taking over the whole offense. Again, I want him freed up to not have to do that.
Right.
So, got to figure that out. And again, I don't think Bradley Beal is really one of those guys either. To play the point guard position. I think he's also a two guard. The guy that's going to score a ton of points.
He's just like an undersized shooting guard, I want to say. I mean, what is he?
Like 6'3"-ish.
Yeah.
Maybe 4. Mm-hmm. 6'4". But Devin Booker's like 6'6".
Yeah.
Like he's like that. He's like the prototypical NBA shooting guard. 6'6", you know, 210, 215 pounds, whatever he is. Can get his shot. Can create. Definitely create his own shot. Like, that's what you want. He's gotten better to me over the years. He's gotten better defensively. You know, I'm not saying he's just, you know, a shutdown guy. I don't think those really exist anymore anyway, just because of the way the NBA is. It's hard to really shut anybody down. Guys are getting their points.
It's not shutting them down. It's more, can you contain them? Can you,
contain them? Yeah.
That's kind of how I view it.
Yep. So, I mean, we'll see what happens with this hire. Jordan Ott, Ott is a guy that's put in his dues. He's been an assistant since going back to 2012, been with the Hawks, Nets, Lakers, Cavaliers, and obviously the Cavs. So he's put some time in, might be a good hire. I mean, sometimes these younger guys
are just fill-ins.
Yeah, sometimes they are, but sometimes they, like Taylor Jenkins, when he got the job in Memphis, like, I don't think most people knew what he was going to do there. They had a couple good years. Now, last year, even the year before, things kind of, you know, the bottom kind of fell out.
Mm-hmm.
But that happens. When your star player is getting suspended and getting hurt, not on the court, it's tough. It's tough, especially for a young head coach. And we see now, I mean, hell, we talked about it. Thibs went with New York, got to the conference finals and got fired. So if you're falling short of that, your job's in trouble.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely going to be interesting to see what he can do with this roster and how he can better it.
Coming up, more MLB news, something that could change the way a lot of games are decided, a lot of outcomes to games. Sports Radio 610, Area 45. Oh, yeah, Area 45 in the building. Chris Santiago, Chris Partee, filling in for the fellas tonight, Johnny and Creighton. Taking the evening off, man. They've deserved it. Shout out, fellas. All right, so we got some more MLB stuff we're going to get into here. And it's really interesting to me, this article, Chris, that you sent me from The Athletic. And it's something that's been talked about and even already tested for quite a few years as far as baseball goes in the minor leagues, and then it was tested in spring training this year. And that is Rob Manfred, the MLB commissioner, his proposal to bring in the automatic ball strike challenge system. And it sounds like it's going to start and hit the majors next season. So I got this article here from The Athletic. One of the paragraphs, so it kind of breaks it down as to, I guess, the gist of what would happen here. Human umpires would still make the vast majority of ball strike calls, but teams would start each game with two challenges to the umpire's opinion. Umpires would then rely on technology, on the technology system that the league has tested for years in the minor leagues and in major league spring training this year. Teams retain the challenge if they get the call overturned. So, we have challenges. We've had challenges in football for quite a while now. Mm-hmm. Quite a number of years. Instant replay, all that good stuff. Basketball in recent years, as far as the NBA, they've added challenges to the game. Again, this is something that's been talked about for quite a while in terms of Major League Baseball, but it sounds like Rob Manfred is finally going to go ahead and hit that button and make this a go. Are you, Chris, are you in favor of this? Do you like this potential computer-based, you know, ball strike challenge system?
I am. Yeah, I am.
Really?
I am. For the players to be able to challenge balls or strikes, yes, I am. And the reason is because some of these umpires, I mean.
Here we go, bashing the umpires.
No, I mean, they're bad. They're not good. I mean, true. And I get it. Each umpire has his own strike zone and whatever. Some of them are a little bit more hitter friendly. Some of them more pitcher friendly. I mean, whatever you want to call it. It's just that you got to call it how it is. Whether it's if that's a ball on, let's say this team, you got to call it the same on the other team. You can't sit here and switch around when to call balls, when to call strikes.
Yeah.
And then it's just another thing. Just be more basically what I just said is just be more consistent.
Yeah.
Just be more consistent. So yes, I'm for this. And if sometimes there's some of these players, let's see, we saw it with the Rays. Whenever I think the Rays were in town, one of the players from the Rays, he taps his head and the ump throws him out. But the reason why he threw him out is because technically when you tap your head, that means that you're challenging a strike zone.
Yeah.
So the ump kind of got his feelings hurt because, you know,
he let his ego and pride get in the way.
Exactly. So that's like, as long as the ump's ego and pride doesn't get in the way of this stuff, I definitely want this. I'm just tired of these guys just getting in the way of a good game, of a good pitcher, of a good, you know, just getting in the way of the game. That's basically. So I'm for it.
Well, somebody's not a fan of the umpires in Major League Baseball.
Yeah, that's me. That's me.
I can't say that you're wrong. Now, I get that, you know, human error is a thing. But computers ain't always perfect. They're not. We see it all the time. Hell, I just had my laptop crash yesterday. And I spent yesterday and half of this morning trying to get that rectified. I have it here with me, but I mean, computers are not... I just think in society, we've gone so heavy on, I mean, look at AI now and what AI is just doing to the world, really. I don't think it's great. I don't think it's great, but it just makes it. I just worry a little bit about this in the fact that, or in the terms of Major League Baseball going towards leaning too heavily on computerized systems to get things right. I get that there's human error. And I understand umpires, I mean, referees of any sport. We see it all the time. We talk about it in football, basketball, baseball, whatever the case may be. But are the computers going to be that much better is what I think about. Like, are they going to have a higher success rate in terms of, you know, getting these, you know, balls and strikes right? That's what I worry about.
I think they'll be a little bit more consistent than what would
think so.
Yeah, I definitely think so. I mean, especially when you know, hey, this is definitely not a strike. This is a ball, and you get to challenge it, and you're right. I feel like it's the ABS system is going to bring that a little bit more. It's going to show how bad these umpires have been.
So you talked about, you know, each ump and everybody knows this.
Yeah.
Whatever, it doesn't matter what level you played baseball at or what level you love watching or have watched for years. Everyone knows that each ump is going to have pretty much their own strike zone. Is it going to be the same thing for these computers, or is there just finally going to be one strike zone like you talked about? Like, call it for each team the same way. Those are the things that, and I'm sure there are still a lot of bugs that they're working out. Manfred's team that's been working on this for years now. I'm sure there are still some bugs that need to be worked out from even from going back just to this year's spring training. There's got to be some bugs that are going to be worked out. That's what I worry about, because here's the thing. People are still going to complain.
Oh, of course.
And when I say people, I mean us too. We're still going to complain. That wasn't a strike. This damn computer ain't got a call right all night. We're still going to complain about it. Players are still going to complain about it. I don't think this is just going to suddenly fix the problem 100%. Now, we're not always looking for 100% in with something like this as far as the success rate. You want it to be better than it's been. So if it improves by 5%, then that would be a win, right?
I mean, you'd call that a little success,
right?
A little successful.
My thing is, again, like I said, this is really this whole system here, this thing with Manfred that he's implementing or going to implement. Because looking at the article in The Athletic, it sounds like this is going to happen. Like, it's pretty much official without being official yet, but it sounds like it's going to happen next season as far as the majors go. This is going to happen. It doesn't matter what any team thinks, any owner, any manager, been voted on, whatever the process has been. We're going to see this. You know, I really am interested to see how this goes, especially getting off the ground, because, you know, anytime there's a new rule or, you know, just a new or even like a variation of a rule, there's going to be like
some hiccups, like something like
that. Yeah, exactly. I'm looking for the word there. Thank you. Like hiccups or a learning curve, I guess.
Yeah.
As to, you know, I guess when to challenge, when not to challenge. That'll be interesting. We've seen it in basketball. I still don't agree with basketball coaches in the NBA using challenges in the first quarter or second quarter. I'm like, you get one. Like, the game is, it's early in the game, right? Is that possession really that important right there? That's what I always look at.
And of course, I mean, there's going to be a lot of things that factor in with this new, the ABS challenge system.
Of course.
Because, I mean, like you said, do you want to use it early? Do you want to save it for late? Are you sure you even think that? I mean, there's going to be a lot of like learning curve. So
yeah,
I'm excited to see how it's used. I mean, we've seen it with the minors and clearly, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, it's been pretty successful down there.
Yeah.
So if it works up here, I'm all for it. I'm all for it. Cause like I said, I'm probably not the only one, but a lot of these umpires, man, it's an ump show. And they love to show that.
So is that the main thing for you, that a lot of the umps and, you know, even referees in other sports, but we'll stick to baseball here. Is that a big part of it for you, that a lot of the umps think the game, or it feels like they think the game is about them?
Yeah.
And they try to, it does feel like they try to show either players or managers up sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they don't get the best of them, you're out.
You throw them out. and honestly, that's what bothers me the most. It's just like, I didn't come here to watch you. I paid money to watch the player, the star, the guy that's up there trying to either hit a home run, get on base, do whatever you can. But to me, that's the issue. It's the umps. They do too much.
Show me the person that bought a ticket to watch the umps. I'll show you a jackass. Every time. I will. No one's buying a ticket to any game for the umpires, referees, theatrics. No. I get it. They don't get any. Referees and umpires, they never get any credit. I understand. It really, when you hear the term thankless job, that might be one of the most thankless jobs in sports, is being an umpire. Probably even more so than, you know, some referees in other sports. That position specifically, you get no, there's no flowers for umpires.
Well, I mean,
it just isn't.
I'm sorry, but some of them don't deserve any. I'm sorry, they don't.
I mean, but with umpires and refs, you're never going to remember, be like, oh, that was a great call last night. You're going to be like, that was an awful call. Like, I mean, they could have a million great calls in a row where they don't miss, but that one where they do is the one that you're going to remember.
I mean, I guess unless it, you know, propels your team, you know, in game seven of the World Series to win a championship. Other than that, yeah, you're probably not going to remember too many.
Yeah, unless you're like Chiefs calls. Fans or something like that. Then
who?
Like if you're Chiefs fans?
If you're
If you're like a Chiefs fan, then you don't think there's anything wrong with the refs.
Oh, my goodness. Up here bashing Ron, man. I didn't say it, Ron. That's all I'm saying. No,
he knows it too.
Of course he does. I get it. Yeah. Like I said, this is really, really interesting to me. And this is something that we're definitely going to have to, you know, keep our eye on moving forward. So before we hit the break here in a couple minutes, there was something that you, Chris, you pointed out to me earlier, and it's about All-Star voting. We're already at that time of year.
Sure.
All-Star voting. Talking about what Astros or how many Astros are in the running to make the team this year. So we'll get to that on the other side. Yes, Area 45, Sports Radio 610, Chris Santiago, Chris Partee, filling in for the guys tonight. All right, let's do a little scoreboard check here as far as the AL West is concerned. So we already know Astros lost tonight 3-0 to the Pittsburgh. I'm going to call them the Pirates because they did win. I won't disrespect them too much. On the peons, PC. Angels, as you probably expect, they lost tonight 11-9 to the Boston Red Sox. But at least they got some run production. 9 runs. Come on, Astros, help us out here. Help us out a little bit. Moving on down the board. This will make everybody happy in town. The Rangers lost 5-4 to the Tampa Bay. I almost called them Devil Rays, to the Rays. I still want to call them that for some reason. It's been years now, but I mean, I still want to call them that.
Is it because of the jerseys?
Probably.
Yeah, the new, their color, their City Connect jerseys.
Yeah. Yeah. There you go. Yeah, probably. Still want to call them that, but no, they got the win tonight over the Texas Rangers 5-4. Two other games in the division still in progress. The Mariners just scored, top of the fifth. They didn't just score, but they scored in their, I guess, their half of the fourth. They're up 1-0 over the Baltimore Orioles. And again, coming into tonight, it was a half-game lead for the Astros. So, obviously hoping that the Mariners, most people in town are hoping that the Mariners don't pull this one out.
Take an L.
But again, middle of the season, not the end of the world if they don't. And then the Oakland A's, or I don't even know if I can call them Oakland anymore. They're just the A's now.
Sacramento A's.
Yeah, I guess, yeah. They're down 1-0 to the Minnesota Twins, who definitely have a home. Top of the third, in and out there. That's the little roundup there for the American League West. And again, Astros got Fromber going tomorrow. Probably going to bounce back.
Yeah.
That's what I'm expecting.
I expect that too. I mean, it's not a must needed win, but it's definitely one that you want to have and make sure you take that series over the Pirates.
Exactly. Something else you want to have, or something else you like to have, in terms of your favorite baseball team, All-Star players. All-Star voting has begun, and I can't believe the All-Star game is like about a month away. Like,
better believe it.
This year is just like, it's just, the season is just, it's rolling by. It's rolling. So we have an article here from the New York Times, and they talk about some of the guys that are in the lead as far as All-Star voting at different positions. And we want to ask you, how many Astros make it this year? And I'm asking you, Chris, how many Astros make the All-Star team this year, in your opinion? And who?
So
who deserves it, I should say?
Who deserves it? Top of my head, it's going to be Josh Hader. I think Josh Hader right now is one of, if not the best, closer
in baseball.
Yeah. At least.
I mean, when you look at what he's done, I want to say what he's 17 for 17 in saves. I mean, the guy's just going out there and showing you what he's worth.
He's doing his thing.
Why the Astros went and got him. He continues to show. And yeah, maybe last year, what he want to say, he had like a bumpy start, but a bumpy season.
Happens.
Whatever you want to call it. It usually happens when you go to a new team. You try to prove yourself. You try to show, hey, this is why I got paid. This is what I'm here for. This year, he completely threw that last year's season away. And he's saying, you know what? I'm here, and this is why I'm here. So that's definitely one of the guys as a closer.
Yeah.
The second guy, to me, it's going to be Jeremy Peña.
Ooh, yeah. That's what I was thinking about.
I mean, Jeremy Peña, everybody coming into the season was wondering, what is Jeremy? What is he going to be? Is he actually going to step up this year? Is he going to be able to take that leadership role, become a leader, and show that, hey, you know, I'm also here. We let go of Bregman. Yeah, we let go of Kyle Tucker. Who's going to step up? Jeremy Peña's, ever since they moved him up to the leadoff spot,
yeah,
he's taken that and he's ran away with it. And he continues to show you, hey, put me in the office.
For years, Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Through deeply reported, narrative-driven stories, we're digging into the myths, scandals, and power structures that still shape the South, and in a lot of ways, the country itself. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
All-star game.
He's taking full advantage of his opportunity. That's the best way I could put it. And he, for me, he was the first guy that came to mind was Peña. Who else you got, though? If anyone else.
I can't forget, man. Hunter Brown.
Yeah.
Hunter Brown. I mean, that step that he's taken, at this point, you can argue he's the ace of this team. You can make that argument. To me, maybe. I don't know if I'm ready there to say he's the ace of the team just yet.
But he's close.
But he's very close.
He's right there.
He's definitely that 1-2 punch with Fromm.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely.
So it's definitely those three guys. And another guy maybe that you can toss up there. Maybe. I'm not so sure yet. Jake Myers, maybe.
Okay.
I mean, his hot May. Looking at some of these outfielders that they have or center fielders that they have, looking at this list. I mean, they got Trent Grisham, Julio Rodriguez, who I feel like they'll always put Julio in.
Definitely, in yeah.
And then they got Byron Buxton. And I get Byron Buxton. I'm not sure if I'm ready to put Jake up there.
Okay.
Now, maybe so. I'm not saying I'm going to make this case. It's just a thought. But maybe you could put him. He might be something. Consideration.
I was going to say, he may get consideration.
And
some votes.
And to me, I think that's kind of the only guys I have as of now.
For the Astros.
For now. For the Astros. Unless I'm missing somebody or somebody that you maybe think of.
No, I mean, those are the guys that kind of stand out so far in turn. I mean, because the All-Star game, I mean, you got the voting, but, you know, largely it's about numbers. So, yeah, those are the guys that kind of stand out right now. Now, realistically, I think you just mentioned, what, four guys there?
Yeah.
Realistically, if those are the four guys you're going with, how many actually make it?
I think it's three.
Three. Which three?
Hunter Brown.
Obvious.
Jeremy Peña and Josh Hader. I think those are the locks.
Yeah, because you even said Myers is kind of it's not a guarantee.
Yeah,
it's a bit of an outlier there. He's having a good season, but
and to me, it's mostly because of that hot month of May that he had.
Yeah,
so it helps. Yeah, it definitely helps. Now the thing is, can he continue it going into the All-Star? So it's a maybe, but to me, it's definitely those three.
And that's it this year that you feel.
Maybe another guy is Isaac Paredes.
Okay, not a bad one. He's been hitting.
He's been raking. He's been showing you, you know, that power that he has, and so that's another maybe. But like I said, those three are for sure for me. What about you? Who do you think it's a?
I mean, though, I can't disagree. I would throw Paredes in there. I think I would probably. I might throw him in there. If I had to go with just keeping it at four, I would throw him in there ahead of Jake Myers. to get consideration. That's just for me. I could be wrong about that. But yeah, I mean, that's not a bad group right there, especially the top three that you mentioned. That's not a bad group at all. I don't know if they get all three. I feel like Pena should be. I just don't know for sure.
And now, why is that?
Okay, well, I should say necessarily as the starter.
Oh, no. You're,
now,
I mean,
he'll probably make it, but I don't know if he'll be the starter. I'll put it like that.
And
I'll put it in that.
And maybe the reason why is because of who Bobby Witt Jr. is.
Yeah.
And the name and how good of a player he is. So, yeah. So I
because that matters too.
Yeah, it definitely matters. I mean, the name and the how much people know of him and all that stuff. Yeah, that definitely matters. Now, I do think he'll definitely be a reserve.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, starter, maybe. Hunter Brown probably won't be a starter because right. Scooble is just insane. That dude's just
dealing.
Insane. I mean, insane. Josh Hader. Honestly, it don't matter. I mean, at this point, if he's a starter, I'm happy. If he's not, it is what it is. As long as he makes it, yes.
Exactly. I mean, and with a pitcher, there can only be one starter.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's not like the outfield. You got three guys out there.
Yeah, and that's
another
thing.
You get one guy, a pitcher.
It's so, mostly who's the starting pitcher, and everybody else just kind of just goes.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. So, I definitely get that. Now, personally, are you a big all-star game guy? Do you really? Because I've always enjoyed the Major League Baseball all-star game. Just for whatever reason, I don't know, because it doesn't really seem like, especially like the NBA is just god awful now. Yeah, it's been god awful for a long time.
Same thing with I guess the NFL, the Pro Bowl.
They play flag football now for the Pro Bowl, don't they? They just flag football.
Yeah,
now.
Yeah, yeah. That's exactly what they do.
Yeah.
To me, I do enjoy the MLB All-Star game, and it's mostly because of like the home run derby.
The home run derby, yeah. And that's always been like it's like a must watch.
Yeah, it is.
It's always been.
And not only that, but I think as of recent, they've been kind of miking up these players during the All-Star game. And I remember a couple years
that enhances the, for the fans at home. I think that enhances like engagement and mm-hmm. just the feel of the broadcast the game.
And the thing that I really like is a couple years ago, and this is back when Alek Manoah was an all-star, because nowadays Alek Manoah is
I get it.
Who knows where he's at?
I get it.
I believe he's in minor leagues, but they had him mic'd up and he was talking about, oh yeah, like this is what I'm gonna throw him. I'm gonna throw him this, and just kind of breaking it down as into why, you know, he's throwing him this and stuff like that. And that to me, that's so cool to hear from a player.
Fans like that kind of stuff.
Just like what's going through their minds.
Yeah.
And it to me, it's so cool. It's just so cool to know that.
Yeah. It's like when you're on the mound and you're staring at the batter in the box, like what's, you know, and you're communicating with your catcher, like what's going through your mind right mm-hmm. then? First pitch, second pitch, third pitch, whatever it may be, like what's going through your mind right then? Like how are you approaching a specific hitter? Like fans just kind of geek out, and we're fans, like we geek out on that kind of thing. So I think that, you know, it's good that baseball has finally decided to step into the 21st century?
Mm-hmm.
Finally, and implement some of these things that other sports had done, you know, before, long before them. Now, it helps to keep fans engaged. And it for baseball, it helps to get younger fans involved, because younger fans are so used to technology. They get these things everywhere else. They want it in baseball. I think that helps to keep, you know, just keep everyone engaged. So it'll be interesting to see. And, you know, we're going to find out within these next few weeks. Go out there, you know, and vote.
I was just about to say, make sure y'all vote, man. Make sure y'all vote and vote the Astros in there, man.
That's what I'm saying. Go vote for your guys.
Because the more, the better. Let's just put it that way.
All right. Up next, we're going to play a little bit of Bandwagon.
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available wherever you get your podcasts.